of the seven churches. And the seven lampstands are the seven churches. Amen. We'll stop there at verse 20. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I prefer the old King James Version a little better that says, fear not. It's simple and to the point. Fear not. Is anyone here today who has found themselves in a state of fear? The word of the Lord for you today is fear not. Fear not. If you feel like nothing's going to turn out for the good in your life, fear not. Fear not. Fear not is an admonition that is found over and over in Scripture. Some have declared that the Bible reveals at least 365 occasions, one for every day, where people were facing precarious situations but were admonished not to fear. We read of countless times when the heroes of Scripture were told to take courage and go forward, even though anxiety seemed to be crippling them at the present moment. Fear has the ability to paralyze you and make you afraid of even pursuing God's purposes in your life. It all began with the entrance of sin into God's creation. In Genesis chapter 3, Adam had been tempted by Eve to eat of the forbidden fruit. After Adam ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he and Eve hid themselves. When God came looking for Adam in the garden, God immediately asked Adam why he was hiding. And Adam answered, "I was afraid. I was afraid." Folks, fear is stifling. Fear is stifling. Every one of us can identify with those moments when we have faced fear and those varying degrees of fear, from mild anxiety to panic to overwhelming fear. It is part of the human experience. And there are multiple responses to fear. Some people just give in. Some people run away. Some people stand and fight. These are all automatic reactions to the experience of fear, and through life we've learned how to respond to fear in various ways. We only have to observe the world's current condition to realize there's a lot happening around us that prompt feelings of anxiety and fear. For instance, COVID-19. Should I go out? Should I stay in? Should I wear a mask? Should I go without a mask? What will my workplace or school setting be like in the future? Can I go to church? To hug or not to hug? What's going to happen to church if people choose not to assemble? We say, it makes me so scared about making the right decision. Racial tension. There are peaceful protests. There are terrible riots. Politics. Oh, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive. Amen. Economic uncertainty. Will I have a job tomorrow? The tension between global powers, Iran, Venezuela, China, North Korea. We say the decisions of our leaders are making me scared. Then there's inflation, gasoline prices, grocery prices, and everything else we purchase is getting more expensive. Now the war between Russia and Ukraine. Will it develop into something greater? Are we going to get involved? Will it culminate in World War III? And there's always the anticipation of a more active hurricane season than usual. And you know we're due. We say future events are so unpredictable. I'm scared of what will happen next. Reading down through your news app on your phone is enough to make you look for a sedative. Can anybody identify? Fear is a tormenting emotional state. Fear is a tormenting emotional state. Praise God that in heaven there's the total absence of fear. Amen? And yet we can actually experience the absence of fear right here because we know that perfect love casts out all fear. Amen. But for our message today, I want us to embrace this scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. It says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline." If you have not already put that scripture to memory, you need to do it today. Amen. Tormenting fear is one of the devil's favorite tactics. Sometimes it comes to us like a roaring lion. Sometimes there are feelings of panic. But just as damaging is the more subtle form of fear that we call worry. Jesus told us not to worry about even the basic things of life like food and shelter. Worry will never accomplish anything except to wear you out. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Amen. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7 say this, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done." Verse 7, "Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus." Amen. Have you experienced how easy it is to substitute worry for prayer? That's because worrying keeps you in control. Give it to God, then you start worrying, you're still in control. If you're actively involved in the situation, it's because you want to be in control. But you gave it to God. So make a decision that every time you catch yourself worrying, to pray. To pray. Soon you will begin thanking God for His faithfulness. You will make all your requests known to God in prayer. Get in a habit, folks. You will cast your care on Him, knowing that He cares for you. And you will fear not. So with all that in mind, the rest of my message, I'm going to focus on a frightening experience that happened to a man by the name of Edgar Jansen. Edgar Jansen. One dark, foggy night, Edgar Jansen was walking along the side of the road on Dead Man's Highway. This particular highway was named Dead Man's Highway because so many people had died due to accidents on the road. Edgar found himself walking on Dead Man's Highway when his car broke down. It was late, no cars around, but the fog was so thick, Edgar could hardly see a few steps ahead of him. Suddenly, Edgar heard something coming up from behind. What was it? He couldn't see it, but he could hear it coming. In our Bible text this morning, we read about John, confined to a rocky island 10 miles long and 5 miles wide. John had been banished to that place which was the thing Romans did to political prisoners. They banished them or confined them. That was the typical punishment. The Apostle John was subject to the weaknesses of the flesh just as we are. John had been overcome by doubt. He may have been overcome by doubt. As a prisoner, John had become frail and weak on that barren island. Saints, no one is immune to the attacks of Satan. Even John may have been tempted to question the accuracy of everything he had preached and all that he had believed. And then in the midst of his testing and his isolation, Jesus came to John and said, "Fear not. Fear not." Those are the words that all of us must embrace. We can fear not for good reason. Let me give you some reasons why we don't need to fear. First of all, we can fear not because Jesus comforts us. He provides comfort. Go back to to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 17. It says, "When I saw him, I fell at his feet as if I were dead. But he laid his right hand on me and said, 'Don't be afraid. I am the first and the last.'" John is terrified at the sight of the living Lord falling on his face in a dead faint. But Jesus has comfort for him. He touches John and encourages him with the words, "Fear not." Think about what that means. The strong hand of the mighty Jesus rests gently on the shoulder of the frightened. The powerful touch of Jesus delivers comfort or calm assurance. He did it for John, and he can do it for you. Amen? We can have comfort when facing death. Psalm 23:4 says, "Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me." Amen? We can have comfort when others rise up against us. Psalm 86, verse 17, "Send me a sign of your favor, then those who hate me will be put to shame. For you, O Lord, help and comfort me." We can have comfort because our sins are forgiven. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1 and 2, "Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended and her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins." We can have comfort when we grieve. Amen? Matthew 5, verse 4 says, "God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted." Hallelujah. We can have comfort in our suffering. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 and 4, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others." Amen? Get that ministry thing there? When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. And we can have comfort when we are depressed. 2 Corinthians 7, 6. "Nevertheless, God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus." Jesus stands near today saying, "Fear not. I have provided comfort for you." Edgar's walking along Dead Man's Highway. It is dark and foggy night when he hears something moving up behind him. Then he saw it. It was a car, but there was no sound. The car slowly moved toward Edgar. then it stopped. Now, Edgar needed a ride, but did he dare get into this mysterious-looking car? He decided to take a chance. Edgar opened the door and got in the back seat of the car. Then Edgar closed the door. Edgar looked up into the front seat to thank the driver for stopping for him, but there was nobody behind the wheel. And then the car started slowly moving down the road again. Edgar didn't know what to think. He was even too scared to move. Saints, you and I need not fear because God offers us his comfort. And secondly, we need not fear because Jesus conquers death. Jesus conquers death. In Revelation 1, verse 18 that we read, it says, I am the living one. I died, but look, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and the grave. Jesus holds the key of death and Hades. And brothers and sisters, that's shouting ground for us. Amen? That's enough to make you do a jig. Hallelujah. As the children of God, we will never die. Yes, all of us will experience a physical death. Hebrews 9:27 says, and as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment. But what does this mean to you and me? It means what 1 Corinthians 15:54 declares. Then when our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, this scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory.
Hallelujah.
Death is swallowed up in victory. And listen to Hebrews 2, verse 14 and 15. Because God's children are human beings, made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die. And only by dying could he break the power of the devil, who had the power of death. Verse 15, only in this way could he set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. Wow. You and I can be assured of what 2 Corinthians 4:14 says. We know that God who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us with Jesus and present us to himself together with you. And we can look forward to that reunion. Amen.
Yes,
1 Thessalonians 4:14 says, for since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Because Jesus conquered death. It's not death to die. It's not death to die, folks. Cling to that promise, brothers and sisters. Cling to that promise. The body falls asleep and the spirit flies away to God. Jesus stands near you today to reassure you, announcing, fear not. Fear not. Edgar's sitting in the back seat of the car that has no driver. And the car is slowly moving down the road through the fog. Edgar was so frightened, he just sat there shaking and praying. Suddenly, he looked up ahead and he saw something. What is it? What is it? Aha! It was a sign. As the car slowly moved up close to the sign, Edgar could finally make out what it said. Dangerous curve ahead. Dangerous curve ahead. Because the car was going straight all by itself, Edgar closed his eyes and started to pray for his life. He was so scared. But just before the car reached the curve, a black glove mysteriously appeared through the open front window and turned the steering wheel. Edgar, paralyzed with fear, just watched. Time and time again, the glove mysteriously appeared when the car came to a curve in the road. The third reason we need not fear is because Jesus controls the future. Verse 19 of Revelation chapter 1 says, "Write down what you have seen, both the things that are now happening and the things that will happen." Jesus knows about the things that will take place in the future. Not only does he know about it, but he controls it. Hallelujah. He controls it. Amen. You don't have to worry about what will happen tomorrow. No disaster, no problem, no unpredictable occurrence is beyond his foreknowledge and power. Let me tell you that again. No disaster, no problem, no unpredictable occurrence is beyond his foreknowledge and power. Praise God. No lifeless Jesus could give any assurance that would enable us to face tomorrow. But because he lives, Jesus stands near today to say, "Fear not. Fear not. God already knows your future and my future and has it well in control." Edgar has been walking along Dead Man's Highway. It's a dark, foggy night. Mysteriously, a car came up from behind and stopped. Edgar got in and discovered that it had no driver. Then each time the car came to a deadly curve in the road, a mysterious black glove came through the window and turned the steering wheel. Edgar was so frightened, he nearly wet his pants. What was going to happen next? Finally, Edgar saw dimly through the fog that there were lights up ahead. Gathering his strength, Edgar suddenly jerked open the car door. He jumped out and ran toward the lights he saw ahead. We also need not fear because he carries us in his hand. We have safety in the hands of God. Verse 20 of Revelation 1 says, "This is the meaning of the mystery of the seven stars you saw in my right hand and the seven gold lampstands. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches." Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 28, concerning his children, "And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." As long as we want to be held in his hand, nobody can remove us. Amen? Jesus Christ holds us in his hand. And when we are held by the Master, we can be confident of his loving favor, his delight in us, his protection of us, his faithfulness toward us, and the assurance that he will never abandon us. Understand that no lifeless Jesus could carry us safely in his hand. But because Jesus lives, he will hold us close and meet each need. Each need. He's here to touch you. He's come to announce to you, as he did to John, "Fear not. Fear not." Edgar had been running through the fog down Dead Man's Highway. Finally, Edgar came to a little roadside diner. In shock, he went in and asked for a cup of coffee. He quickly drank his coffee, and then Edgar started telling the waitress about the horrible experience he had out on the road. All the other men in the cafe listened carefully. A silence gripped that little diner because nobody knew what to think of this mystery. One man suggested that it must have been the ghost of one of those people who had been killed out on that highway. And Edgar began to cry like a baby out of sheer fright from his experience he'd been through. At that moment, two rough-looking guys walked into the cafe, and everybody in the place stared at the two strangers. Edgar was still sobbing with his head in his hands. Finally, one man said to the other, "Look, Bob, there's that guy who got in our car when we were pushing it down the road." Poor Edgar. The fear and dread, the anxiety he so needlessly endured. Do we see ourselves in Edgar? You and I can avoid all that trauma, folks, when we realize that the Heavenly Father has us safely in His hand. Listen, folks, you don't have to have a personal, if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, then you may be destined to experience the most frightening, unbelievably horrific encounter with Satan himself. It's called hell. It's called outer darkness. It's a place of weeping and the gnashing of teeth, and there will be no relief from the suffering and sorrow that awaits. None. But with Jesus, we have nothing to fear. No fear. Jesus will keep us close, protect us, provide for us. Then one day He will welcome us to heaven to live with Him eternally. With Jesus, we have nothing to fear because Jesus comforts us, conquered death for us, controls the future for us, and carries His kids in His hand. Amen. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Fear not, saints. Fear not. Put your faith in the power of the Almighty, and fear not. Amen. Fear not. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together. Hallelujah.